Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host, kind of doing double duty this morning. I'm going to be real honest with everybody. I have the Masters going on. Alex and I both have the Masters going on as well as we are doing the show. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, good morning. Yeah. A little bit distracted, yes.
Well, we hadn't planned on this because of all the problems with the weather delay that they're going to be talking about this afternoon. Severe weather for the tournament for the area up there where Augusta is, Augusta National. So they had everybody tee off early this morning. And some of you know I have a golf show on the sports station. But this is history in the making going on today right here on CBS. So sorry if we're blowing it for you, but we're watching it. And we're also going to do the show as well. So Tiger right now is going up the 17th fairway, and things are looking really darn good.
Yep, two-stroke lead.
I know, pretty exciting. All right, Coachella Fest is here in the Coachella Valley, but I've noticed a little bit of a trend this year that's a little bit different than the past years. I'm noticing less people in the Palm Desert area. More people are ending up now downtown, East Valley, with the hotels going up and more restaurants. And I'd like to say, it just seems a little bit different this year here in Palm Desert. Have you noticed anything, Alex?
Yes, definitely, because I live in Indio. And Leslie loves pho, and she was craving pho yesterday, and we're thinking, okay, let's go to our favorite pho place in Indio.
Yep.
We head over, packed with people. Yeah. We go over to TKB, the very well-known sandwich place.
Yep.
Packed.
Packed, yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, I guess we're eating at home.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's really different. Through all the other years, I'd go to Albertsons, and there'd be tons of Coachella Fest people there. I mean, all over, and the parking lot packed. And this year, I've just seen maybe 10 at the most, so it's been really a different Coachella Fest. But it sounds like everybody's having a great time out there. The weather's holding up, so good for what they... And I was reading in the paper this morning that they say that Coachella Fest is contracted to have the event at the Polo Grounds until 2030. So Coachella Fest isn't going anywhere. So get used to it. Yeah, and for those people out there making extra dollars off of it, good for you, because they supposedly bring in, I don't know, they're talking these numbers like $1 billion worldwide for Coachella Fest. I don't know, but it is good for the Valley. All right, on today's show, we have Diane Williams, who's going to join us. She's going to talk about the current real estate market. She's going to sit with us for 45 minutes during the show, and I'll bring in some what events are going on. We'll throw a little bit of that in there. We'll cover some things that are happening in the Coachella Valley as well. In the second hour, we have Mel Doman. She is, and I think it's a she, I'm not sure, but Mel is from Orbitz, so one of the top management personnel at Orbitz, and they have a big special going on tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow is tax day, believe it or not. My taxes are done, finished. Alex, are you all done with that?
I am.
Okay, so we are done in the clear. In fact, I put my box of stuff away now. I don't need to look at it anymore. So Mel will be joining us to talk about their tax day special, and you have plenty of time because it all has to do with what you purchase through Orbitz on tax day. So that should be interesting, and give you a heads up. You might want to plan that trip that you've been thinking about for a long time, because you'll be saving some dollars. All right, Artifacts and Arts Across America, my nonprofit, is on the roll there. We'll talk more about that in a second hour. Yesterday on KESQ, I was there, and we featured Half Moon Bay below San Francisco. Love that area up there. It's so spectacular. So you might catch that. I'll get a copy of that and put it on the YouTube page. Or I'll have it on Traveling with Françoise. It will be somewhere. This week has been kind of one of those weeks where I've been just busy doing things. But something that I did, which was really fun, is Alex, I went to the Kaweah Desert Academy College and Career Day. And I spoke to three different classrooms about what I do and about the radio show and the TV and the nonprofit. And we ended up in each one making a little video, because some of them were very interested in video. So we did a little, I gave someone, we did it off my phone. They did the 1, 2, 3 things, started us off, and it really turned out well. We had a lot of fun.
No, that's good. And it gets kids enthused, with media and other forms of, again, media, but a lot of kids that don't necessarily get the opportunity to see such things, out in the Coachella and Thermal area.
Right. And I explained to them really how the opportunities are so much easier for them here in the Coachella Valley, because the access that we have to all the people that come into the valley, it's just a little bit more intimate. And also COD, you guys have a phenomenal media program over there. And I told every single class that. I said, you don't have to go to L.A. or, you know, across the country when COD has an excellent media broadcasting journalism department.
Yeah, yeah, it's greatly appreciated, too, because, again, yeah, I work for the media department there. I work as their lab technician, so I work with their student-run media, their newspaper, the radio station, which you got to see. It's an awesome, you know, facility, and it's only expanding. So by the time they're in college, it's going to be amazing. We're going to have a brand-new campus in Palm Springs, too.
I know. Very exciting. Very exciting. So that was the highlight of my week doing that. Always a little nerve-wracking because you never know if the kids are going to be interested. You know, you don't know. And I have to say that you can tell that there's always that fear factor of some because I asked how many wanted to be in broadcasting media journalism. And at first, it seems like only one person raises their hand. And then as we get into it and I start talking about other things, then all the other hands start going up. And I explain to them, you know, our business is not a 9-to-5-er. You work 7 days a week and your pay comes in and out. And it's just, I was very honest with them about it. I said, if you want a 9-to-5 job and a career that way, this probably isn't for you.
Yeah. And, yeah. And what a lot of them don't understand, too, is that they think the only job is just being on air.
That's what, good point. Yeah. And I explained to them, I said, there's, the job, $720 billion in the industry last year alone, because there's people that have to write all this stuff. There's makeup, there's hair, there's lights, there's sound. There's so much. So anyway, it sounds like I'm giving my class all over again. It was a ton of fun. So I really, again, thank Cahuilla Desert Academy for having me for their college day. I met a lot of wonderful professionals here in the Coachella Valley that were there. So definitely a fun day for me. So we do have lots of stuff to talk about on today's show, as we also are doing the show and watching the Masters. And I heard the bell ring. I think our guest is here as well. Diane's going to hang out with us and talk about what's going on in the real estate market, because I see some, boy, some quick sales where I live. And these are homes that aren't renovations. For a while there, all the renovations, they were going, you know, snap as quick as possible. But now I think the market is definitely a little bit more solid, I think. That's my take on it. I'm not sure. So let's see. I think that's going to cover it for right about now. So we're going to step aside for just a moment. And when we come back, we have more right here on Money Radio, more traveling with Francoise, coming to you live from the Masters. Oh, no, not really. Coming to you live from Palm Desert. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. We're doing double duty. All of us here in the studio, we're watching TV. We're watching History Made. I have my guests that are in with us. And, of course, they are at Indian Ridge Country Club. So right there in the middle of the golf mecca here in the Coachella Valley. And joining us is Diane Williams from Diane Williams & Associates. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
It's been a little while.
Well, we do this every quarter.
Oh, is
so
it every quarter?
So it's been about 3 months.
Like, yeah, all right. And we're winding into the summer. The season is winding down. In a way, it kind of feels like it. In a way, it doesn't kind of feel like it. So definitely some change going on here in the Coachella Valley. But I do want to say this segment of the show is brought to you in part by The 500, Palm Springs' only concierge-driven executive building, also home to Ristretto and Gallery 500 on the corner of Ramon and Indian Canyon. The500ps.com is their website, and definitely you can check that out that way. So, all right, let's talk about the season winding down. I don't know what happened, so I won't be watching that.
We're trying not to watch the golf.
Alex, what happened? Yeah. So the season is winding down. I have been noticing where I live for sale signs going up, and boom, within 3 months, those for sale signs are down. And I can't believe that everything now, they're fixer-uppers that are at discounted prices.
They're getting fewer and far between.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed is the investors came back this year, and some of them are trying to invest in properties that really are not flippable.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting money in and then winding up losing money. But there are – so the homes under 400,000 are very few and far between. So if a investor wants to look, they're going to have to raise the bar and the price point and get a little larger return on their investment. But for the most part, they don't want to put that kind of money in. And, you know, like if they bought a home around $1 million and put a couple hundred thousand in, they'd probably make a little bit of a better return. But a lot of the investors don't want to take that risk.
Are the investors, so you're saying that they don't want to, they're not looking to buy fixer-uppers anymore? Is that?
They are, but they're few.
But they're few. So are they buying homes that are that maybe have been redone, let's say, 7-8 years ago. And they're looking at them, and that could be out of style at this point. But you wait long enough, it comes back in. Everything comes back in style at some point. Are those people making major renovations to their homes that you're seeing, or they're just a little bit here and there?
You're seeing a lot of the people that are putting their homes on the market are not bothering to put the money into it because mm-hmm. they won't get their return.
Yeah.
But the people that are coming in, whether they're an investor or a buyer, they are definitely putting the money in. And they're and you know, without the expectation of flipping it and turning it around, mm-hmm. they've made a wise investment. For the flipper has to be much more careful in what homes they buy.
Yeah, and everybody thinks they can flip.
Yeah.
Everybody's a flipper. We're going to get a house, and we're going to do that. Now, I've been getting lately, it's kind of interesting because I'm always wondering how much of these numbers come out of your report. Because I get reports from other real estate people just because of media-wise.
Really?
Yeah, I do. And I look at them, and I don't ever use them. Because,
thank you.
No, I don't use them because I think basically I do think some of them probably take your numbers or they wait for your numbers because this one just came out from someone. But I do glance at them to see. I just glance. And it shows kind of a really rocky ride here as far as this one goes. But when did your quarterly report come out?
It just came out this last week.
Okay, this last week. And I said, I just got this last week. So
okay, that is something. Market report comes out every month.
Uh-huh.
And they track it in 3-month intervals. And they do it by they call it the Tale of Nine Cities. So they do the nine cities. And they track what's happening with remote buyers or whatever. And a lot of the information that comes out from them, I utilize and I refer to it. I've had various conversations with them in terms of how we both view mm-hmm. the market, and we're very much in agreement. What they do is they do it by city, and where I do it is I break it down to find out where is the improvement, where is the downswing, you know, because fewer homes have sold in the first quarter of this year compared to last year. Where is that happening? And so I take it down to a much more finite level.
So you cover the entire Coachella Valley.
And when I do there's a couple things that I do. I do the entire valley in terms of how the valley is doing, and then I break it down to cities, and mm-hmm. then I break it down to, since we're in a country club setting,
right.
and I break it down, I track 19 country clubs.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the cities, because Alex and I were just talking before we went on, well, after we went on the air as well, about this year I've really seen a different vibe as far as Coachella Fest goes. In the past years, Palm Desert was just inundated with fest goers. I mean, the store packed, everywhere packed. And now I know Palm Desert is really strict on these short-term rentals, which is fine by me. I'm okay with all that. But I feel now that Indio, Coachella, East Valley is really stepping it up because they're getting so much notoriety and attention across the world now. People know Coachella. You say Palm Springs to an age group, and they kind of go, they mentioned Coachella Fest. Oh, yeah, Indio, Coachella. They know it, boom, right away. Do you see more building going on in those areas down there? Do you see the prices of homes rising?
Well, in Indio, let's see, if we were going to take about Indio, we basically there. I don't think that there's as many homes being developed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in certain cities, I haven't tracked this quarter the number of new home construction. That's a whole other thing that we can find in Market Watch. But typically, I think what's happening is, because definitely I'm seeing Palm Springs or Palm Desert very quiet. El Paseo was very quiet yesterday. The restaurant that I was at, Pacifica,
yes.
was really quiet. Uh-huh. And so I think they're doing things more down valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when so many of the people in the Indio, Coachella, La Quinta area are offering their home up for rent, you know, for the groups to come in and rent, that's where they're typically going to stay.
Yeah. So you don't see, though, as far as real estate trend, anything. How about the value of the homes in those areas? Are you seeing the price point going up or staying about the same?
Well, let's see. The price change, let's say for Indio Central, which is the price has gone up 8.8%.
Oh.
So that's very good thing.
Yeah.
That's close to, you know,
right.
the Coachella. La Quinta South, which is in that area, their price has gone up 3.4%. Okay, so the number of sales are going down, but the prices, of course, are going up.
Are going up, which is that good for all of us down here? It sounds good, but in the long run, is that when things top out and they start to go the other direction? Or do you see us even getting close to the cap of some sort?
I think we're going to be a normal market going forward. Typically, when you have less supply, you know, there's usually you would think demand would drive prices up, which they have done. But at the same time, they have slowed our sales down because there's not enough product available.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so ultimately, I think in the end, it does slow everything down a little bit. And so ultimately, the growth and the percentage increase in the value of the homes will either stay relatively the same or start to go up. What I find in the country club setting, and as opposed to if you take just general cities, the country clubs are doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They have less inventory, but the prices are going up, and there's certain country clubs that are far more active in their sales than others.
And membership, golf memberships.
Oh, it's incredible.
They have just jumped where I live. I think they said in the last 8 or 9 months they had 40 new members join. I mean, because there's the home sales, there's attrition going on,
right?
And which is, seems to be almost over with at this point. But they have so many new golf memberships, which really, that was make it or break it for a lot of clubs now. If they didn't get these new golf memberships in, were they really going to continue to be country clubs, or all of a sudden they were a community with big park?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and the interesting thing is as the younger generation comes in and buys the homes, they're much more active.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't play 2 rounds of golf a week. They play maybe 3 or 4 or 5. So the density on the golf course is impacted, especially in January, February, and March. And so it feels like there's crowding when, in fact, it really it isn't. You just have a younger generation playing a whole lot more golf.
And with us, folks, is Diane Williams from Diane Williams & Associates. And I like having Diane on because, first of all, the station is Money Radio. It's a financial station. And real estate is very important in the Coachella Valley to a lot of us. For those of us that have lived here a long time, we want to see what's happening with the real estate because many of these properties stayed basically the same value for many, many years. They didn't really, you know, maybe creeped up a little and then fell back down. So for those that have invested living here full time, we like to see that rise. And for people coming in, and we still have lots of people that just come in for 3 or 4 months and then they leave, but they ultimately end up either buying a condo to start and work their way up to, I want to live here full time, and then travel for a month or two.
That's right.
And that is really, I definitely see the Coachella Valley is becoming such a year-round destination, regardless of the heat that we have in the summer. Frankly, I'd take that than the blizzards that they're having back east and in the Midwest and stuff. I don't do well in snow.
Yeah. Well, and I think typically if you see the, we don't really have a slowdown in the market. We have about 31% of the home sales occur in March, April, well, actually April, May, June, and March too. So there's those 4 months. But in the second quarter, 31% of the homes are sold. And the rest of the other three quarters, they're all about 21, 22%. So we are basically a year-round market now.
Which definitely must be nice for your business because I thought it was feast or famine for a while there.
We just never know when to take
you
a
never
vacation.
Well, we're talking about, I was at Kaweah Desert Academy College. I did career day on Friday, and it was interesting because I was telling the kids, and actually real estate is the same kind of platform. I was telling the kids that, you know, in the media, it's 7 days a week. You never know when your next paycheck is coming. You kind of do, but not really, because it's always, everything's always evolving, changing, moving. And real estate is the same thing. Of course, when the market's good, everybody wants to be a real estate
that
agent.
That is true.
Everyone goes and takes the I mean, see it online. I just got my test. And after they sell a friend's home, which is usually, it seems to be the first thing that they can get listed as a friend's home, and they're lucky enough to sell it in this market, then they think, oh, wow, this is really easy. But I don't think that's the case.
No, and actually, there's Core Logic takes figures out the sales activity of all the agents, and there's probably about 34 agents out of 1,000 that do probably 50%, 50 to 60% of the business. So the rest of them are just doing deals. So the real question is, do you use an agent who has tremendous amounts of experience, uh-huh, or do you use one that just got their license? And that's, you know, that's a personal thing, but
right.
It's important to ask your agent what they're doing. What have you done? What are you doing lately?
Well, I think it's that guilt friendship thing. You know, your friend knows that you're going to sell a house and they walk in there, they just got their license and they stare at you and say, well, you're going to list it with me. And I do think a lot of times people don't know what to do. I know somebody I've known for a long time, they did that with a friend. The house didn't sell for a couple months. They finally had to say, we're going to get someone else. That reputable agent sold the home within 3 days at full market value, or what this is what she said when I read it, where the other agent could not and kept telling them to drop the price, the person that wasn't experienced.
Well, in the beginning, when I first started out and I had a friend that wanted me to take their listing, I said, I really don't want to jeopardize our relationship and our friendship, which could happen because anything can happen in real estate. And I wanted to get my feet more firmly planted mm-hmm. in the ground before I took that on. And it was a very wise decision because you have in your home, you've got a very, very large investment. And you should be picking the person who is right for the job, that's going to get it done, give you the most largest return on your investment. And that isn't always the case with some agents. So that's where I think you really need to do your research to find out, are they selling your kind of product?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're selling $1 million property, is the person that you're going to be using used to selling $1 million+ properties?
Right. Yeah, that is definitely key. And we have a lot of that here in the Coachella. We have such a wide range of properties, real estate, land. I'm going to talk to Diane during the break for a second to find, because I have some business questions that I'm hoping that she will be kind enough to answer, because a lot of us don't even understand some of the business tactics here in the Valley. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to more Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host. Joining us in studio is Diane Williams with Diane Williams & Associates. They are the on-site sales office at Indian Ridge Country Club in Palm Desert. You also have another office, too, don't you? No?
Yes, we have an office in the Indian Wells, corner of Cook and 111.
I know. So you run back and forth to both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. All right. I wanted to give a heads up for a few free events going on in the Coachella Valley. Of course, Desert X is out there, but Desert X will end on April 21st. So if you have not been out and about to see all of the installations throughout the Coachella Valley, down into the East Valley by the Salton Sea, you might want to get it done because they are closing shop on April 21st. I mean, it'll take a little bit of time to see some of the works go away, but as far as all the maps and the apps and all that sort of stuff, that's all going to be stopped. Now, today there is a concert. It is the Desert Hot Springs Classical Concert happening today at 4 p.m. It's a free event at Grace Church on Bubbling Wells Road. We had Danny in here. They have had some tremendous performers over there. It is free. Go on over there and enjoy it. And what I say today is Stacey Frazier, soprano, and then Alistair Edmondson is going to be on the piano. So this is pretty awesome. They're filling up, and he's been working on this for the last couple of years, and finally now they're getting their foot in the door. All right, there's also what is happening. Palm Springs' unique one-day event is taking place. It is a multi-businesses throughout the city on Tuesday, April 16th. They're going to do a pop-up Palm Springs, and I'm trying to see what time all this goes on. And it's a free event. They're going to have all these different stores that are going to have events going on all day long, I'm gathering. So it should be a lot of fun. And that's happening on Tuesday, April 16th in Palm Springs. Other free events going on. It is Tortoise Watch and Trek. That is on Thursday, April 18th from 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. at the Santa Rosa and San Jacinto Mountains National Monument Visitor Center. So you might want to go over there. They do such a wonderful job there. And then there's a free movie that is happening at the Rancho Mirage Library. Movie begins at 3 p.m. and coming up on April 18th, it is The Great Escape. Remember that movie, The Great Escape?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So it's okay, so some movies going on there, and then also the Clydesdales. You don't want to miss this. On Wednesday, April 24th, the Clydesdales, because we're going to be off next weekend, so I'm giving you a heads up of what's coming up, and all this will be on the Traveling with Francoise website, but the Clydesdales will be on El Paseo. They'll be in town again for Stagecoach. And you can go down, check them out, and they will begin. They'll start working their way down El Paseo at 12:45. No, actually, they're going to be in front of the Daily Grill around 12:45, and they're going to work their way down. So, anyway, this will be on the Traveling with Francoise website. Go on over there, check it out, and find out what is going on in the Coachella Valley. All right, since I was mentioning businesses, I thought we'd give a little I'm just going to throw this out there, Diane. I hear this all the time from business owners and just even shoppers and stuff. They hear all these rumors that go around. What is it with some of these established, I'm going to call them strip malls, where there's more than one or two properties, where the management companies keeps the rents so high when they see that they basically maybe have one tenant left? What is the mindset on something like that?
Well, since I don't specialize in commercial, yeah. I'm not really sure. Other than, as we talked in the break, potentially, I think one of the leading factors might be what they owe on the property. If they've leveraged the property, they may not have the opportunity to drop their rates, as opposed to someone who has a lot of flexibility because they own it free and clear or whatever, has lots of flexibility. And as I mentioned back when the downturn, 2008 and 2009, out in Old Town La Quinta, mm-hmm. The owner of that shopping area, he dropped the prices for all the vendors, and many of them were able to stay in business and carry through. You don't see that happening in some of the other areas. And, you know, supply and demand, many of these people, if the rates are too high, they just can't continue to operate. So I think there's a fine line between what makes sense to have as full occupancy mm-hmm. as you can, because when you don't have the full occupancy, you're just losing. So I'm not sure I understand quite the philosophy, but mm-hmm. the only thing I could think is whether or not they have a loan out there. High cost.
Well, this makes me think of another question. You know how these questions, Diane never knows what I'm going to ask her. None of this is ever scripted when most of my guests come in. In fact, frankly, all of them. So Diane comes in. She has about 10 papers in front of her just with stats and numbers, never knowing what I'm going to ask. So this is a point that I think would be a great point to make to people. The difference between an agent who sells real estate and a difference between an agent who sells commercial. Are there some that do both, or the successful people stay in their wheelhouse?
There are people, agents out here who do both, but I think the most successful ones are the ones that stay in their wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm. Is it that much of a difference? Because you'd think if you are representing properties, because you are in both fields, you'd representing properties. What makes them so different versus working real estate or working commercial?
Well, it's interesting because when I first got into the business, one of my clients was from San Francisco, and he was a commercial broker. And he said, come work for me. I want you to be a commercial agent. And I said, I don't have that much patience. And because there are some of these, and a very dear friend of mine who is a commercial broker, she can work for 1, 2, or 3 years trying to get a company to come in and rent space somewhere, and it may never come to fruition. And she's done all of this work, all of this mm-hmm. research, following through with everything, and get nothing in return. Real estate's a little bit more short term because typically by the time most buyers come in, they're within 3 months of buying a property. Occasionally you'll have somebody who'll look around for a lot longer than that. So, you know, you can turn around and you can sell homes much faster than you mm-hmm. can do stuff in commercial.
And when you brought something up there, in commercial, are a lot of these properties where we see the signs up, and is that just agents trying to rent properties in those areas? So not so much sell them, but just try to rent them.
Yeah, a lot of them doing the leasing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So I just learned something. We all just learned something. Yeah.
And commercial also goes national. It's not always just local. So they could be reaching out to a vendor from New York, or they could be selling a property in Texas. You know, so it's mm-hmm. not always just local.
All right. Well, and talking about out of area, this year so far, when you do your stats, do you try to go to the beginning of the season to perhaps the end of the season, or are you doing, I think you said mostly quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be what quarter now? You just had a quarter.
First quarter.
Right.
Yeah.
So in your first quarter, did you see a lot of your buyers coming from what area? Are they coming out of state? Are they still coming from the Orange County, LA area? Where are the buyers coming from that are purchasing in the Coachella Valley?
Well, the Canadians are back.
So they're purchasing again.
Oh, yeah. And then I think a lot of people from Washington, Oregon. Where else?
Mm-hmm.
LA market.
Because I remember last time you were here, you were saying you had really strong interest from people in Orange County,
right.
In LA, and you weren't really talking too much about the snowbirds. So that's changed.
Well, the LA market, Orange County, LA market, has always been the stronghold, you know, foothold in here. They come back and forth,
mm-hmm.
and so they're always the largest percentage of people that are buying homes in here. And then you take the northwestern states, and then you also take the western part of Canada, and you know, but the percentages are farther down. Okay.
Have you had any of your clients say to you, "Okay, we are just done with these winters. we're ready now to purchase in the Coachella Valley, or we're ready to step it up, buy a larger home and move down here year round, and then just go back there and stay for maybe a month or two, and that's it.
Yes, we do have that trend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's interesting because you've got the baby boomers that are actually coming from L.A., coming from other areas. They're looking for a home here, that they're going to spend more time here than they are at the other location. So, yes, so they're stepping up and buying. We have a lot of people that are coming in now buying, and they're in their 50s. And they're buying because they know in 5, 6, 7 years from now they're going to be coming down here and spending a lot more time because they're working now. Mm-hmm. So they put the property on the market for lease when they're not using it. And we're seeing a lot of that happening.
All right. Okay. So much interesting things going on in the real estate market here in the Coachella Valley. And like I say, with us is Diane Williams from Diane Williams & Associates, on-site sales office at Indian Ridge Country Club. I don't want to get into country clubs quite yet because we have a break that's pretty close to coming up. So I think, Diane, we'll just take that break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, then we'll talk about what's going on in the country clubs. Because
I can refer to my sheets now.
All these papers she brought. Okay. We'll be right back, folks. You're listening to Traveling with Francois right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francois. This hour is flying by. Joining us in studio is Diane Williams from Diane Williams & Associates. Her on-site sales office is inside Indian Ridge Country Club. And all our information is on the website, Traveling with Francois. Or you can go to the web and just click on DianeWilliamsAndAssociates.com. How simple is that? All right, there you go. You're just nodding your head. Diane's going, yeah, okay. All right, Diane, you have all these notes in front of you. Let's talk a little bit about country club communities. Inventory, how are they doing? What areas are doing well? You tell us.
Okay, well, first of what I can say is that if we were to talk about the whole valley, okay, homes under 500,000 are selling at about 72% of all the homes that sold. We haven't seen this since 2007. Okay, so, and then we have 8.4% of the homes that are selling are over $1 million. Again, we haven't seen those numbers since 2007, except for the second quarter of last year. So we're seeing a steady increase. And so homes there, the reason we're not seeing as many homes sold under 500,000 is there's not that many homes available.
That's out so, there, yeah.
So the sales by itself will go down. And so as a result, what I like to do is I like to go in and find out, okay, so we know the sales are down, price are up, what's happening, because I track 19 country clubs. So about 2 weeks ago, I went in and I did all of the average price sales prices for the 19 country clubs that I track, and also the number of homes that sold in the first quarter. And quite what's really taking place is this, about approximately the same number of homes sold in the first quarter this year than it has in the last 5 years.
Really?
And the prices, you can see from 2013 to 2018, the prices were just flat, which in my reports I always talk about prices are staying flat. They're just flat. This is the first year, boom, you see a bump up. And so some of the clubs are seeing a much larger increase. Some people are seeing a smaller increase. Just a few of them are being affected negatively, but the seven country clubs that are what we call the high-end country clubs, mm-hmm. where you have to pay $150,000 or more to join, every one of those, their sales are way up, and their prices for the most part are up as well. Only a couple of them have been affected, but that's usually by the product they have sold in the quarter, mm-hmm. so it may not be an indicating factor. But the million-dollar-plus market is a very solid, strong market in terms of number of sales. Okay, so just to give you an idea, Indian Ridge, for example, we were up, our average sales price in the PUD section, which is the single-family home section, mm-hmm. That was over $1 million.
Oh.
So it's really, really amazing. We haven't seen that in a long, long time. And back in 2005, 6, and 7, the average sales price was over $1 million.
So does this have anything to do with Larry Ellison and the BMP and all these high-end events going on in the Valley? Does that have some influence on the million-dollar market of those people wanting to come in? And also, that the lot of the country clubs, I know Indian Ridge started this a long time ago, about stepping it up and renovations and getting fresh new look and having more things for the members, more amenities for the members. Is that happening more in the high-end clubs versus maybe the ones not? Or,
well, I know Vintage just renovated. Indian Ridge has continually done this.
Always,
always kept up to date. Some of the clubs are playing catch-up. I think it has to do with, as long as you have the amenities that attract the younger generation, you're going to do very, very well. In terms of, what was the average age of our people now? 63, and we were at 68. So we've gone down 5 years of average age. So the age of the people that are coming in are much younger, and that's a very good sign. And the interesting thing is what we've experienced in Indian Ridge is almost every one of the people that are coming into our office and wanting to buy a home want to buy a membership of some sort.
Yeah, which is what's it all? That's what it's all about. I mean, if you're going to live in a country club, right? It is all about lifestyle and the community and what it has to offer. So that is interesting. So what else do you have there for us?
Well, it's like to give you kind of an idea. Since Sunrise bought Andalusia, okay, we've seen an increase. You know, everybody got really excited because Bill Bone, you know, did Toscana, and he's done many, many communities out here. Great businessman when it comes to building golf course communities. And long after he leaves, he leaves very marketable clubs. They're very well run. They're, you know, very well thought out. So he does a good job. So it was a good thing for Andalusia to come in. The only one that didn't do quite so well this year was Vintage. Their prices have gone down a little bit. And I'm not exactly sure what's happening in that community. And it may be just a fluke for the quarter, or they didn't sell some of the expensive homes. As you know, the Lakes is going to be doing a lot of remodel. They're borrowing and then using some of the reserves to bring that club current, because they've just been pretty flat for a while. Morningside always stays very, very well. I mean, they've maintained their values for very, very well. But their views, they've got a lot of water views, a lot of water with flowers and whatever. Desert Horizons is pretty flat. Indian Ridge, we're up 9% in our sales price.
Yep.
And the PUD, we're up almost 18%.
And when you say PUD, what does that mean? I have no idea what that means.
Planned unit development.
Okay.
So what Indian Ridge did many years ago is, back in the mid-90s, there were a lot of lawsuits. The homeowners associations were suing the developers for structural defects. Mm. And they went after every single condo association, Palm Valley, Desert Falls, the Lakes, PGA West, you name it, they went after them. And there was always kind of a settlement. The insurance companies would settle. And some of it had to do with the shear wall and the earthquake and whatever. So once that was done. But anyway, those are the condo associations where you pay a higher HOA fee and they maintain the whole exterior, whatever the case may be. And then the PUD is a single family home where you own the lot.
Oh, interesting. Have the Kardashians coming to the Valley brought any value? I'm just joking. Yeah. All right. They're out there at the Madison Club. How they pick that, who the heck knows? How are they doing out there at the Madison Club? What are your stats?
I don't track the Madison Club all that much because they don't do a tremendous amount of volume. It's not that big a club.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've done quite well. But there's a specific audience for that country club.
Definitely. All right. We have about four more minutes to go on the show. Diane, so what do you see? I want to do a couple of things right beforehand, though. Palm Springs Aerial Tramway, they are going to have Easter brunch going on and some special hours for spring break. So check that out. And that's, that's okay. That's really one. I can post the rest of the stuff on the website. Because I want to ask you, I want to ask about summer. Summer's coming. We don't even know in the Valley. We see so many real estate signs up during the Valley. It seems like summer is a good month for selling homes and stuff. What are you projecting for this summer coming up?
Well, I think we're going to have a solid season. I think, you know, we have for the last, the last 2 years, the weather has been pretty bad and the sales have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think the theory that if I wait till spring, people are going to be really desperate, so I'm going to go in and write an offer on a home in May before they leave because I can get a better price. I think that's kind of going by the wayside because since we've become a year-round market, we can still get those homes sold in the summer months. And but what we're not seeing is there used to be a lot of homes that would come on the market in May, and they would try to put them on the market and sell them, or we'd have fewer. It would fluctuate. And right now we just kind of seem to have a steady flow of homes that just come on the market, you know, so many a month, and it just seems to kind of hold true.
All right, how important is this? Is completely off my top of my head. How important is an open house? Because sometimes I see agents that are there all day long, and I never see a car in front. Not one person ever stopped by. Is an open house with all the virtual reality in today's world, is that as important as it used to be?
Well, when I got into the industry, an open house, probably 8% of the time you would sell a home on an open house. Mm-hmm. I think the last time I did the stats, which was about a year, year and a half ago, it was like 35%. And what's taken place, the value of the open house now, is that so many people can find homes on the internet and the web, they, instead of picking out an agent, they go into the open house and just look and see if they like this home and get familiar. The problem with open houses is you're relying on an agent that may or may not know enough about the community. They may give you, you may see that product and decide that you don't like that community because you didn't like that home, when in fact there's so much more to see. So, you know, there's good and bad for the open house. It's great for people to come and see them and see what it's like, but it also limits their perspective.
So they have tunnel vision, basically, is what you're saying. When they go in there, they look at it, they say, okay, I want to go see that one house. And instead of talking maybe to the on-site agent that's there that knows about all sorts of properties, they look and then they leave. And it could be the perfect community for them.
Right. And I think one of the things that's also very, very key is that you need to have somebody who knows all of the country clubs, mm-hmm. you know, or all of the communities where we do gated communities. We sell single-family homes. We sell country clubs. We sell everything. But because I've done research on this since 2004, mm-hmm. I know the desert. And if somebody came in and sat down and said, I'm looking for X, these are my wants and needs, I could spin it down to four or five country clubs or four or five areas. This is where we need to primarily focus to meet your needs, and makes it much, much easier for them to actually purchase a home that's right for them.
All right. Coming into Indian Ridge Country Club, someone wants to come talk to you. They drive by the gates and they think, oh, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get in. Is it going to be? And it's not hard. All they have to do is say that they're going to the real estate agent, correct?
The on-site sales office.
On-site sales office. That's all you have to do, folks. So don't let that deter you, because I get that from people. They say, oh, I saw the gate and all that stuff, and I thought maybe they weren't going to let me in. And you just have to ask. All you have to do is ask, and you'll find Diane Williams and Associates over at Indian Ridge Country Club in Palm Desert, right off of Country Club. Beautiful community over there, really gorgeous. How many communities do we have in the Coachella Valley off the top of your head?
Oh, God. I'm trying to think. As far as gated communities? Oh, my goodness.
We have a lot.
Hundreds.
Hundreds, yeah, I know, in golf course community. How's your golf game, by the way?
I'm playing pretty good golf lately.
Good, all right. It's good to know. All right, Diane, thank you so much for joining us today. Now, I know you have a couple of your associates with you. It'll be year-round, open year-round, so don't worry about it, folks. Diane Williams and Associates. Do you have any travel plans?
Not yet. Not yet.
Well, usually you have a whole list ready, so year you're too busy. You're always busy. Okay, folks. So, Diane, again, thanks for joining us today. Really
thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Us.
And phone number?
760-776-7070.
All right. And, of course, Diane Williams and Associates.com. All that information is on Traveling with Francoise. All right. In the next hour of the show, we're going to shift gears and go into our travel mode. We're going to have Mel calling us from Orbitz, which I have not had anybody from Orbitz on. They contacted me and wanted to be on the show. They wanted to talk about a special deal they have going on tax day. You might want to book your trips tomorrow with Orbitz. No, because you could save money. You won't have to pay any taxes.
Really?
Yeah, no, they have this big deal going on. So anyway, we'll be right back with more information right here on Traveling with Francoise on Money Radio. So stick around. We'll be right back.